Jesus Reveals God's True Intent Behind the Law, Part 20. Divorce and Remarriage, Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 258. Since January 20th of this year.
Jesus loved me.
Slash Day 625 since January.
I don't know why he cared.
Every day. So, beloved, what is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, in the Holy Word of God, the Holy Writ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the gospel is embodied in these words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, Paul said, I have determined not to know anything among you save the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Walter A. Elwell, editor of the Tyndale Bible Dictionary, we're continuing with him regarding the explanation of the gospel, writes regarding why Jesus's message that the kingdom of God had come, light over here, was good news. Number two, the kingdom is now being inaugurated. The time is fulfilled, declares Jesus, meaning that the time appointed for the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises has arrived. Number three, the consummation of the kingdom is therefore no longer a distant prospect. The full realization of God's rule is at hand. Number four, God is establishing his rule for a saving purpose. God is in the soul-saving business. Amen, somebody. And if we as Christians are not in the soul-saving business, like God and Jesus, then we're not doing what they have commanded us to do. This is implied in Jesus' call to repentance. God wants us to repent and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And someone said yesterday very clearly that believing in Christ involves repentance and belief altogether. When you believe in Christ, it's understood that you are repenting. And so it's all tied in there together by the grace of God. And I know when I got saved, I never had a question about that. I knew when I got saved, there was the Holy Spirit of God in me. Once I trusted Christ as Savior, I knew I had to change. Man, I changed so dramatically. I got rid of my disco clothes and left them at the thrift store, at the door of the thrift store on base. Keesler Air Force Base, and started wearing black like my pastor. Started carrying my Bible, big old Bible, around with me everywhere I went. Back in those days, we called it the sword. We always had gospel tracts on us and passed them out wherever we went and witnessed to people, and we didn't care who. Anyway, turn your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 5, verses 31. And 32, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away. His wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, and Jesus is very serious about this. He's not grinning, he's not smiling. This is a serious matter. This is another acceptable sin, by the way, in the church. Not only gluttony, but divorce. It has been accepted. Programs have been created called divorce care. We accept you in Protestant churches. Now the Catholic Church accepts divorced people and so forth. You say, well, preacher, shouldn't we? I think it's another acceptable sin and problem in the church community. Saving for the cause of fornication causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. We thank you for your holy word that instructs us in life, where we need to confess our sins and repent. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that in regards to this matter or any other matter. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves. Holy Father God, revive us again. We pray that you'll heal Christian marriages that are on the verge of divorce, some already separated and have to go through the legal process of waiting for a year, a cooling off period, and however the devil is working in the interim and pushing them further and further apart, where by the time they it's time to make a decision, they would have already decided to get a divorce and have already gone their separate ways. It happens all of the time, and some even think they'll get back together, but the devil jumps in there to make sure it doesn't happen. So, Lord, we pray that you'll protect these families who are in that situation and help them to do the right thing for your glory, praise, and honor, for their own good, for their own conscience sake, and for their children's sake. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Shane Eidelman said, God hates divorce, whereas reconciliation is pleasing to God. And before you jump and get offended because you are divorced or you're getting a divorce, and you already got a girlfriend, and you already have a boyfriend, etc., understand that God never divorced Israel, and God never divorced us, and all of us, the family of Israel, and the Christian family, should have been divorced by God a long time ago. And we all know it. There are instances when one is released, he continues, through adultery and or abandonment. However, reconciliation should still be sought. First and foremost, God's will is that we walk in integrity, follow his principles, use wisdom, be patient, and seek him during the journey. For some, reconciliation may result. For others, it may not. End of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today we will continue looking at what it means for a husband and a wife to reconcile after one or the other has committed adultery. And by the way, adultery is committed in the heart in every case before it is committed physically in a bed somewhere. And oftentimes, this adultery begins innocently on the job, even the church job. So be careful. As we have seen, first, the offending party must confess his or her sin of adultery and demonstrate that they have completely turned away from the adulterous relationship. In other words, that they have repented. Secondly, the offended party must forgive their wayward spouse for this to work. If they are immature and do not forgive and cannot forgive and do not sometimes, oftentimes recognize that they were complicit, in other words, they aided and pushed the person to commit adultery because of their bad behavior, or their neglect, or their not having sex with the spouse, whatever. It doesn't make any excuse, but oftentimes there's a reason why a man commits adultery with another woman that's not his wife, or the wife vice versa. And whatever the case, it doesn't make an excuse, but sometimes you have to acknowledge that if you are the spouse who did not go all the way in committing adultery, that maybe you did some things to provoke this situation. And if that is the case, you have to own that, and you have to confess that as sin and take into consideration, serious consideration, forgiving that person and trying to make that thing work. That is not always the case, but in most cases, it happens like that. People get into their marriage and they worked hard to get that husband or that woman, and used to bring flowers, used to have sex with the husband anytime he wanted to, and now after 4 or 5 years and 2 or 3 babies, the man is still hungry for that sex that you were having before, and now you have become a refrigerator on him, and he is trying to maintain, he's trying to hold on. And Sylvia on the job is fine and beautiful and ready to get down. But you have shut up shop. And that is a recipe for disaster. And so thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, today, together the couple should begin to rebuild, by the grace of God, trust in the relationship. And by the way, if trust is ever broken for any reason, by the party being, one spouse being a liar, being dishonest, being deceitful, or committing adultery, or whatever the case might be, trust is a bad boy to get back on track. So you don't want to mess up the trust factor from Jump Street. And the most beautiful marriages are when people are together and they can tell the truth about what they're going through, temptations they're having, bad, the good, the ugly. Those marriages have the tendency to stay together. Julie Gonsho, writing for the Biblical Counseling Coalition, says, "Forgiveness is granted, but trust must be earned. I have no problem forgiving you, but I do not trust you." Let's keep it real. And these little naive people talking about, "Yes, I forgive him, and I, because I love him, I think he's a good man, and all of that and so forth. I forgive him, and I, do you trust him?" "Yes, I trust him again." And so, no. Put his behind on 360, where you can watch where he's going, get some kind of tracking system with his knowledge. He ought to want to. If he wants the marriage to work, he ought to want to have that. If he doesn't want it, divorce him. If she doesn't want it and she's committed adultery, and I don't want you to be able to track me where I go. I want to be free to go where I want to go, and I don't want you to, go ahead and divorce her, because she is not willing to get real about this. See, if you're honest and you really want to try to make things right, and you want to reconcile, you, the offender, will bring up. Here's what we're going to do. You have access to my phone. Listen to me very carefully. We got a lot of Christians, even pastors and wives. The wife can't touch his phone. He can't touch her phone. And they get very mad and angry. Let me tell you something. I can touch any phone in my house. And watch this. From the time my children were young, all of my children and I really don't want my wife touching stuff, but because I had some issues there with her. But all of my children can get on my phone and touch my phone and do whatever. In fact, there's a lot of things that they can do that I can't do. And they have to get on the phone. But if you have a situation where the person does not want you to touch their phone, or they don't want you to be tracked, they don't want to be tracked, then, and they're not offering that, and they get mad if you ask them about it, then it's time to get a divorce. Because it's not going to work. You want to see him while he's pulling up near Sylvia's house. You want to see her while she's pulling up near Bo Peep's house or whoever. You say, well, that's not a relationship. Yes, it is. It's accountability. I went over to a friend's house, a preacher's house one time, and I noticed that his wife, who was normally there, wasn't there, and I said, okay, where's the family and everybody? He said, where's your wife? And so I don't know. Threw up his hands like, I don't know. Yeah, she's out in the street. And I said, you don't know where your wife is? No, man, I don't know. I said, well, he was an older man, so I didn't say anything to him. Trust is earned. Trust is not an automatic given. In reconciliation, it develops over time. Trust is very difficult to rebuild in a marriage broken by adultery. More so if the unfaithful person was very good at deception, a liar, and good at it. The offending spouse must humbly submit to verification of their activity and being held accountable for their actions and whereabouts over an extended period of time. Reconciliation is God's ideal for a marriage that has been broken by adultery. It is preferred by God if it can happen. However, if the person that you're forgiving is not trustworthy and is not willing to be accountable, phone is free and open, willing to be tracked, and willing to give an account when asked about the whereabouts of the offending spouse, has no problem with it, does not get upset about it, then you might have somebody you can work with and work this thing out. But it's going to take a long time for trust to be built back up. And I don't think it'll ever be built back up 100%. When Christian spouses reconcile after such betrayal, it is a great testimony to the church and to the world of the power of the grace and the gospel of Christ in lives and marriages of believers. And just like the gluttony sin that has been accepted in our society, this sin has been accepted as well in our church. And the problem still with both of these issues is testimony. Are you even on good ground to witness to somebody else when your family is shot to hell, when you've been divorced and remarried. You need to think about that. Your testimony, and listen to me very carefully, it is a powerful testimony when a preacher can say, this is my first and only wife. And in this day and time, you have to say that. Or say that you've been married 30 years and then they can see that. Or you've been married for 25 years. Or you've been married for 40 years. That's a powerful testimony in this day and time. Because all people, once they get married, they really want to stay married. And when they see people who have done it, and they happen to be Christians, that's a powerful testimony. So that's what this is about, folks. It's all about winning other people to Jesus Christ, and not just our comfort and what we want. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Have your Holy Spirit to bury it in our hearts, hide it in our hearts, and help us to love it, to cherish it, and obey it. We do pray for the healing of all Christian marriages that are in trouble. We pray for the salvation of all people who are in marriages without you being the center of their marriage. Forgive us of our sins and our failures in this area. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to confess our sins and repent. And if a person can go back to their wife or back to their husband, help them to do that and to suck it up and get it done. To stop being selfish and stop acting childish and act like adults and get the job done for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the benefit of their children. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9 and 13 says that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again to save you from hell. And so, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. and I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart as you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong. I have broken some of your Ten Commandments, such as lying, stealing, and lusting. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Help me to repent of my sins past by the power of your Holy Spirit and to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com. or one of our other emails on our sites, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.